Hello, Wedding Community Podcast. Travis here, and today I am joined by Katie Graham. She is a photographer located in the Western New York area, but she also travels across the globe. I wanted to bring on Katie today to talk about her photography business, but also to really dive into Pinterest. She is doing an awesome job with Pinterest, and I think there's a lot of information she could share with us to help not just other wedding photographers, but all other wedding business owners. So, Katie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Yeah, doing great. How about you?
Awesome. I'm doing great. I got my notebook ready actually myself because I am a total Pinterest noob. I'm looking forward to actually learning more. It's actually kind of funny. The reason why I end up reaching out to you, I'll give some background context. In our Facebook group, I had ran a poll asking people, you know, what's the social media platform that you need the most help with? And I didn't even include Pinterest in that list. That's how naive I am about Pinterest. So I had Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, all those kind of things. I didn't even have Pinterest on there. Another photographer actually added Pinterest, and then almost everyone voted for Pinterest. Like Pinterest was the most voted one that they need help with. And so I was like, I wonder like who's the expert? Because it's like, I know like photographers or, you know, other wedding business owners that are good with Facebook, with Instagram, YouTube.
Yes.
Don't really know anyone for Pinterest. So I went down a rabbit hole of YouTube videos. I found one of your videos. I thought it was very easy to digest and it was very informative. So I reached out to you and now here we are. We're doing an episode. So.
Yeah, I'm glad that my YouTube videos are working because I don't know quite as much about YouTube as I do Pinterest, so that's good.
Yeah. Hey, you're doing pretty well. I mean, you're around the same view count as like we're getting, and we are videography, so you must be doing pretty darn good then, because we're still trying to figure it out ourselves. So.
Well, thank you. I spent about 4 hours trying to film a YouTube video yesterday. It's difficult with a newborn.
Yeah, I can't imagine. So
yeah, she ended up joining me with it. So
hey, that might get more views. You know, people. Yeah. There's two things people love on the internet: cats and babies. So
that's very true.
So I don't know if you have cats, but if you could put the two together, I think you would have a recipe for success. So
I'm working on the cat front, but I have a dog. Maybe I could leverage that.
They love dogs too on the internet, I've heard. So
yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, Katie, I would love to hear more about your business, and you can really share whatever. I would love to just kind of hear a little bit more about what you got going on for your photography business.
Okay. So I basically, how I became a wedding photographer, long story short, I did not want to be a wedding photographer. I knew I wanted to work in weddings, but wedding photography was last on my list. And I tried a whole bunch of other businesses and they all miserably failed. Didn't even make it off the ground. And then I basically said to my husband, okay, I'll entertain you. I'll try photography. And I ended up booking my dream wedding as my second wedding ever, which is a wedding in Seattle, Washington, which I'm from New York. So for me, that was like traveling across the world. and so that was kind of a clear sign like, okay, I'm supposed to go into this. So I've been doing it for about 3 years now. We do a lot of weddings locally, but we also try our best to travel as much as we can in any given year. So we've been to like Washington, we've been to Colorado, Florida, we're going to Virginia this year, which is great. So we love traveling for other weddings. This year we are focusing a little bit more locally just because we have a newborn and travel, we're just dialing it back a teensy little bit. And then about a year ago, I started diving into more how I could do more free marketing for my business, just because that's the constant struggle of like, okay, how much budget do we want to have for like marketing? And I'm like, well, if I can maximize my free marketing, I want to do that. And I just kept hearing this buzz, not really in the wedding community, but in other like professional entrepreneurial type communities about Pinterest. And I thought, ooh, that sounds interesting. So I started learning a bit about it. And then I actually met this, or she kind of found me. There was this woman who has an actual Enneagram life coaching business. And she somehow got a hold of me and she thought like, you're doing a really good job with Pinterest. Do you want to basically help me do mine? And she pretty much had like official training from a Pinterest expert of how to do Pinterest. And she said, I don't have the time to do this, but I know how to do it. So can I coach you the rest of the way, like give you everything else that you need to know in order to be able to do it well? And then can I pay you to do it for me? And I thought, duh, yes, absolutely, I will do that. So I then ended up doing like Pinterest management for her. And so that became a nice little side income for me. But then I also learned how to do Pinterest well for myself, which has in turn led to a lot more traffic on my website and being able to increase inquiries in that way. So yeah, that then became kind of a little side hustle that I've been building over the past little over a year now, which has been fun. So wedding photography, Pinterest management, they don't usually go together, but that's what my world kind of looks like over here.
It's awesome. You know, I know our main topic is Pinterest, but I kind of want to stop there for a second because I think it's really awesome that, you know, you've only been doing this for around 3 years and you've already been able to travel to, you know, other states to do weddings and, you know, you're doing an awesome job with Pinterest. And so I would love to actually just kind of dive into that a little bit and just get some information from you. How did that all kind of start? You know, with you being so new into your career, how were you able to make those connections to get to other states?
So it's been, you know, part of it is kind of frustrating because of this, but it's also really cool. A lot of it is just random and connections and just weird things that but some of it is seeds that I planted a while ago that are coming to fruition, which is what you want to do when you're building into these things. But then some of it is just like, I never could have planned that. So the Seattle wedding, I had gone on a missions trip back in middle school to Jamaica, and my church had teamed up with another church that was from Seattle, Washington. And one of the girls who was on the team with me, her best friend got engaged and she was the maid of honor, and she was really struggling to find a photographer that she liked. And so this girl who had gone on a missions trip with back in middle school, we were still friends on Facebook because nobody ever goes through and filters their friend list. So I was still friends with her like 10 years later, and or maybe longer. I don't even remember when I was in middle school. And she reached out to me. She's like, hey, I see you're doing photography now. My friend needs a photographer. Any chance you'd come to Seattle? And at that point, I was just trying to get my business off the ground. I was taking pictures of my sister in my wedding dress and trying to just post any kind of content to make it look like I knew what I was doing. And I said, yeah. Yeah, and at that point, I had never shot a wedding before. So I was thinking, okay, this wedding is going to be in 4 months. I need to get my crap together real fast. And after that, I basically took a membership from another photographer to help get my crap together, basically. And I shot the wedding, and it went really well. And from there, I was able to say, basically, at that point, I was probably 5 months into business officially. I was able to say that I had traveled for weddings, which then gives you a little bit more credibility, even if I was brand new. I was just a baby. But still, I was creating work that I look back now and I'm like, oh, I was such a baby. That's really cute. But I mean, people liked it and they were willing to pay for it. And they took to my personality or something resonated with them. And from there, it just kind of grew.
Yeah. It kind of goes to show, never be a jerk to anyone, because you never know when they might come back into your life and, you know, it might be a beneficial contact to have.
Yes. Be nice to people.
Yeah. That's really great. And I think there's something special too, that whenever you're doing weddings out of town, I know it's not for everyone. I kind of prefer being local. It is cool to be able to travel from time to time and get a new kind of perspective and background. But I think even if it's not something that's like a main goal, I think it's still nice to maybe do a few in your career, because it just sounds good too. You know, like, oh, wow, like they wanted them to come all the way across the country to do their wedding. Like, what's going on with like Katie? Like, what's so special about her? And it kind of piques their interest. And then they're like, yeah, I have this photographer who travels all over the world, even though maybe you've only like gone to like the state next to you or something, you
know, but
it still just kind of sounds good. And it kind of helps build your reputation.
Yeah, it helps with that perception of people. It is that thing exactly we said, like, what's going on with them? Like, what makes them so great that somebody would be willing to pay for them to come over? When really there's nothing that makes me any more special or talented than the several thousands of other photographers in our country. It's a cool thing. And For traveling, yeah, my husband and I, we just love to travel. We like to get out of our little corner of the globe. So this is a cool way that we can do it and also be making money while we do it.
I kind of really started falling in love with traveling in like 2019 because I had a lot of traveling gigs. And for better or worse, a lot of our vacations were booked off of traveling because like I would have to go do a shoot in New York or somewhere. It's like, well, I've never been to New York. So I'm going to go like 3 days earlier and 3 days later, still do the shoot, but then still be able to basically have a vacation that was covered for me, which was awesome. So you can't, it doesn't get much better than that. If you love traveling, definitely try to go down that route for sure.
100%. My husband, he actually is my second shooter, and he had no desire to be my second shooter and learn how to shoot photography until I mentioned to him that I had the Seattle wedding and that if he was my second shooter, that he could go with me and he could go to Seattle for the first time. And then he thought, ooh, yeah, let me learn. Teach me everything you know. And now he joins me for everything. And yeah, it just makes it fun. You go ahead like a couple days early, you get to enjoy, or stay a couple days later. It's fun.
Yeah. I don't blame him for wanting to be taught when he has the opportunity to travel. So
yeah. And now he sometimes takes pictures better than mine. Like the couple will message me and be like, this is my favorite one. And I'm like, oh shoot, Jackson took that one.
Well, I guess he's coming for my job, right?
I guess so, if anything.
That's awesome. Well, I want to dive into this Pinterest thing. So like I was mentioning, I am kind of a novice when it comes to this. Like I've had a Pinterest since I probably started my business 10 years ago. And I just would kind of pin whatever, you know, I was like, oh, I should probably put this wedding on there. Not really knowing what I'm doing. We might have a little bit of traction. I don't know. But like, I really don't know anything about it. And it was one of those things of like, it wasn't obvious that we were getting leads from it. So then I kind of started ignoring it and started focusing on other platforms. So, you know, I would love to just kind of hear how important Pinterest has been to your business and how you've kind of been able to judge the importance of it.
Yeah, so you touched on something that I think a lot of people get frustrated with when it comes to Pinterest because, and we talked about this briefly before we started the actual episode, but when you go to Pinterest, it's not a platform where you can directly correlate, unless somebody says this, that like, hey, I booked you through Pinterest. There's really no way to track, like, they clicked on a pin and now they are booking me for a wedding. Because Pinterest, what it does is it's a search engine platform. So it directs people to other platforms, to other places on the internet. So maybe they click on a pin and they end up on your Instagram and then they scroll through your Instagram and then they end up booking you or inquiring, which in that case, Pinterest just made you money. Pinterest just supported your business in a huge way, but you might not know that they initially found your Instagram through Pinterest. You would just know like, oh, they liked my Instagram account because they followed me on Instagram. So then you give this, basically that booking, you give the source of that to your Instagram in your mind. So it can be difficult to kind of track like how well it's converting. But for me, I mean, I'm getting, there's one pin that this is the example I always give because it's a pin that's done really well. It's, I think it's 10 unique and trendy ideas for a Florida wedding. I think that's the pin. And I think everybody just really wants to go to Florida right now. I don't know why. And so that pin, it gets several shares every day. And then I average around 60 clicks a day from that pin to my website. So that's, to me, very valuable because then I'm actually getting new people onto my blog to read that blog post. And then hopefully they click maybe another blog post, they check out my work, maybe they inquire then. But there's really no way to like look at the back end and track that success all the way through. So I know people can get frustrated when they feel like they're just doing Pinterest like willy-nilly and not seeing results when really the results, they're kind of just in the background. You have to just look at how many clicks you're getting. And if you're getting clicks on your pins, you're succeeding. You're doing a great job. That's exactly what you're supposed to be doing with Pinterest, is just redirecting people to other areas where hopefully then they reach out. So for me, Pinterest, that's a big, I will prioritize Pinterest over Instagram. Personally, I keep my Instagram up to date because that's kind of the most personal place where people can get to know me. But Pinterest, that's, I find, especially in the wedding industry, there, it's not that saturated. There aren't that many people like really diving deep into it. So if you do dive deep into it, you have a good chance of your pins being found and increasing that. Whereas on Instagram, they're anybody and everybody and their second aunt or whoever, they're all on Instagram. So
it's so interesting. That's how the platform works, because you were kind of mentioning too, but if I think of Instagram, they don't even really want you to let people go anywhere else. Like, you can't really, there's not like a great way to share links. You can't really, it's hard to kind of share like external content without actually like uploading it directly to the platform. So in a lot of ways, Pinterest, I could see so many possibilities of like how well it could work in almost being like a lead magnet, you know, like you, you have something like you were saying, and I could see like all wedding vendors having something like, you could be a wedding planner and also still have that similar topic about Florida. And then, you know, it could be like top 10, and it's like, you want to see like five more, go to our website blog, and then it connects to your blog. There's so many possibilities I could see with any wedding business that could benefit from that. Now, to slow down a second, I know that you were saying things like pens and boards and stuff. I would love for you to just kind of explain some of the terminology and like what is what and like what's important.
Okay, so basically, if you're like a complete newbie to a Pinterest and you don't know anything about it, so Pinterest is a search engine. A lot of times it gets lumped together with social media platforms, but there really isn't much of a social aspect to it. Like, you can comment on pins, but nobody comments on pins. Like, nobody comments. So the social part of it, that's null and void in my mind. So it's basically a search engine, and people go there for ideas for inspiration. And so what you can do is you can go to Pinterest and you can search. We'll just go with Florida wedding ideas. We'll just use that. And Pinterest will provide to you all these different pins that people have posted about Florida wedding ideas. And then you can create on your profile, you can create, say, a board, which is basically a folder where if you find a pin that somebody put up that where you're like, oh, I really like that, I want to remember that for later, you can save that to one of your boards and have these organized and saved for later. So from that's the user side of it. And that's basically as far as a casual consumer will go with it. Like, maybe they'll create several boards and give them fun, quirky names, and then they'll save pins to it. And that's about all they'll do. From the business's side, you are creating the content that you're hoping that people are going to be saving to their boards, or best yet, that they are going to actually be clicking on to then read and consume, and then hopefully go a step farther and look into you more. So you have your pins that you're creating, which is basically a graphic image with like a title and a description, and it's like a think of it, what is the term, a billboard, that's what I'm thinking. Think of it as like a billboard for a piece of content on the web. And so you're creating those. You can create boards to organize your pins that you're putting out there, which are basically the folders of your pins that you offer for people. And then if you want, I can go into like the terminology of like the pins themselves. But basically, other than that, the only other big thing to know as a business without diving into the nitty gritty of it is keywords. Keywords are a big thing because that's how people search. And thankfully, Pinterest makes it super easy for you to know what people are searching, because all you have to do, which I think Google and YouTube do a very similar thing, is you just go to the search bar and you start typing in whatever, and it gives you suggestions. And those are word for word exactly what people are searching. So you use those terms inside the title and the description for your pin. And use like hashtags that are in line with that. Instagram and Pinterest are very different with hashtags. Instagram, I think, allows you up to like 20, is it? Something like that.
And 20 to 30,
somewhere 20 to 30. And then Pinterest is like 2 to 3. Pick your 2 to 3 hashtags.
A lot different.
Yes, huge difference. If you try to use 30 hashtags on Pinterest, they're not going to like that. But yeah. And then this is not really going with that, but kind of. The algorithm with Pinterest, it is your best friend. Pinterest, their number one goal is to get people off of their platform, which is totally different from Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or TikTok, especially TikTok, where they just want you to go down the rabbit trail and keep going and going and going. Pinterest wants the users to find exactly what they're looking for and click on it and go elsewhere. And I think that's why a lot of people, if they're looking for wedding inspiration, they're going to go to Pinterest instead of going to Google a lot of times, because one, the algorithm is really good at showing them exactly what they want to do or what they want to see. And two, it's a visual platform and people love visuals a whole lot more typically than they do a bunch of like just tabs of text. So from a business's standpoint, you maybe love or hate the Instagram algorithm, you're going to love the Pinterest algorithm because it's just it's doing the best it can to get the right people seeing the content you're putting out.
So I don't know a lot about Pinterest. So I actually did a little bit of research beforehand with my friend Google. And it's kind of interesting to see like the stats on Pinterest. So I think it was like 2019 or last year, there were like 322 million monthly active users. So it's not like this is just a platform that no one's using. Like there's a lot of people.
Right.
But what was interesting the most to me, I think, was 7 out of 10 of the users are female. And then 77% of the active users have discovered a new brand or product because of the platform. So I think, I mean, that in itself is like, if you're in the wedding industry, you need to be on the platform, because if you're talking about, you know, a lot of times it's the bride doing the planning. Sometimes we get a groom, you know, that's like taking charge on certain things. But most of the time it's the bride that's kind of looking for ideas for the wedding and the decor and things like that. And then the fact that that many people are discovering a brand or a service like from Pinterest and then using them for the first time, that's pretty awesome. And obviously it's not as high of numbers as Facebook or Instagram. Like I think Facebook, it's like in the billions, but that's a very targeted market though, with the fact that like so many of them are female. I think I saw a stat too that most of them are kind of within that teenager to like late 30s range, which that's like perfect. Like whenever you do like Facebook ads, it's like usually what you're trying to target is probably women that just got engaged that are between 20 and 30. So basically a lot of those people are just on Pinterest. So so kind of speaking about the ads, I was just kind of curious, like, are there ads on Pinterest? Have you done ads? Like, are is all your content organic? I would love to just kind of hear what you're doing as far as that.
Yeah, so you can do ads on Pinterest, and it's really quite easy to do if you if it is something that you want to look into. It's a very easy system that they have set up, way easier than Facebook, which is great because Facebook is so confusing to me. But personally, I did paid ads, or paid pins, basically. I think they call them promoted pins is what they specifically call them, I think. I did that for a while, like for a couple months, and I was getting success, but it was like the same amount of click-throughs and success as I was getting from organic pins. So for me personally, I felt like, why would I be paying for a paid pin when I can get the same amount of success from a free organic pin? I know that there are people who swear by paid pins. I'm not one of them. I personally don't feel that it's necessary. Save your dollars, spend it elsewhere, get a new lens or something. But yeah, you can do paid pins if that's something that you like really want to dabble with.
Yeah, that's great to hear though that you've grown so much by just doing it organically. How long would you say it took for you to start noticing like actual traction from Pinterest?
So you can start getting clicks as soon as within, I would say, 48 hours of when you start doing like really targeted things. Significant traffic, like the 60 to the average of 60 clicks a day that I'm getting to my website, I would say it was probably 2 months after I posted that pin initially that I saw a big spike. I was probably getting like anywhere from like 5 to 7 clicks a day before that, which to me, that was like, that's great, because that's 5 to 7 new people every single day who are like looking at my website. That's huge. But then, I don't know, somebody with enough people must have repinned it. And then obviously Pinterest notices that, oh, people like this, they're clicking through to it. So then they promote it and they're going to show it to more. And then once that kind of gets triggered where Pinterest realizes like, oh, this is good. Like people really like this. It's so weird. People are leaving our platform via this pin. Let's show it to more people. it sounds so backwards, but it's how it works. Then it just kind of snowballed and now we are where we are.
I love how like counterintuitive it is, like compared to every other platform. It's like, get them somewhere else, you know, whereas everywhere else is like, stay here forever. So I just love how they work like that.
I do too. And I feel like it, I don't know, people are hooked to Pinterest. Like when I talk with my brides, when I'm working with them, I always ask them if they have a Pinterest board and they say like, oh yeah, the first thing I did when I got engaged was go to Pinterest and create a wedding Pinterest board. So, I mean, people are always on it. It's just... especially if they're female.
So if I am a wedding business, I just set up my account on Pinterest, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
What would you say are some of the first steps that the person should start taking to become a Pinterest expert?
So what I would recommend is, one, get really, really clear on what your goals are for Pinterest, because it can be very easy to start just pinning things for the heck of it. And if you don't have clear goals of what you're trying to really like drive traffic towards, it can just feel like, why am I doing this work for nothing? So know whether, which I'll back up for a second. If the whole goal of Pinterest is to drive people to somewhere else, so you have to have a destination in mind for them. And obviously the ultimate destination is that they end up on your inquiry page and they actually inquire and then you book them. But there's steps before that. I would not personally recommend, I mean, you could do this, but I wouldn't recommend just putting a pin that says like Tampa, Florida photographer, and then you click it and you end up on your inquiry page.
Right.
that wouldn't be my recommendation. So think about where you really want to be sending people. So do you want to send people to your Instagram? Do you want to send people to your, like a blog post? Do you want to send people to, I don't know, if you have a freebie that you offer to get them on your email list, if that's how you kind of target people, a YouTube video, if you have a YouTube video or a podcast episode that you really want to send people to, for one woman that I do Pinterest work for, podcast episodes are her main thing because that's where she has the most influence and where she gets the most inquiries for coaching. So knowing exactly where you want to send people would be the first step. After that would be doing a lot of keyword research. Just look to figure out like, okay, I want to promote this video or I want to promote this thing. I want to try and send traffic there. Just go to Pinterest and type in the search bar any keywords that you think might be related to that content and see what people are searching and write them all down or do what I do and just take a screenshot of what pops up so that you have it for later. And from there, it's just designing your pins and then actually taking the work to put them out. And have some boards to organize it, to put it into, because they need a home to rest in, and the boards are their home where they sit. But yeah, the biggest thing I would say is knowing exactly where you're wanting to send people.
I know some of the post examples you were giving, it sounds like there'd be text involved. Would you say text is important with the post?
Yes. Yes. So with photographers, it is a little bit different because for a wedding, somebody might be searching for like sparkler photo ideas because they want to do a sparkler exit. So as a photographer, post your images that don't have any text on them so people can see inspiration and then maybe they'll click. But more than that, if you really want to maximize how many clicks you're getting on a pin, always have text. And have it be big and have it be easy to read, which I struggle with this. And I know that other photographers struggle with this because you're basically taking your image that you worked so hard to create and you've perfected it. And then you're taking a bunch of text and just slapping it on top of it. And it feels like, oh, it's not as pretty, but you're going to get way more traffic with text. It is extremely important. And not just having it like easy to read, but having it actually resonate with people. It hurts, but it's important.
It's interesting because I could really see Pinterest benefiting those vendors that maybe get booked a little later too, because I could see a bride mm-hmm. booking a photographer, yes. booking her venue, and then the next thing she does is, all right, I'm gonna go find examples on Pinterest of photos I want at that venue. So she's searching kind yes. of for those things. And yes. if you're like a baker, she might not have a cake yet, or if you're the caterer, she might not have catering, DJ, yeah. you know, all these other kind of vendors she might not have, especially the ones that are kind of maybe last minute. They're going yeah. on there to look for stuff for their photographer, but then they might see this pretty bouquet shot and it's like top five ideas for floral arrangements in Florida or whatever yes. it would be. And then next thing they know, they end up on your website and then they're like, hey, we haven't booked a florist yet. They're local to the area. Let's reach out to them. And so I could really yes. see that benefiting like kind of the, you know, the later booked venues just as much as like the earlier ones, mm-hmm. like the venue and the photographer and videographer.
Yes, 100%. And there's strategy in that. And that's the fun thing about Pinterest. You can get all, if you're a strategist at heart, you can have so much fun with this platform because you start thinking about that. Like, oh, say you are a florist. You could, like, obviously, if you have, like, permission from the photographer to use, like, the images of the flowers, which I would hope that they would, then they can create pins and basically post that pin as, like, and just use the title of, like, bouquet photo or like a photo specific pin, but then have the text on it be like summer bouquet ideas, and that's how you can kind of like play with the algorithm a little bit and kind of maximize your reach.
Yeah, and something you mentioned too about using the content from the wedding, I think that's why it's so important to kind of build that community with, you know, the other wedding vendors you're working with, because yeah. If you're forward thinking and you're thinking about your brand and your marketing, the photographer mm-hmm. and the videographer at that wedding should be like your best friend, you know, the whole yes. day, because yes. they are basically creating content for you that you could be using.
Yes.
And regardless if it's, you know, exchanging business for business or paying them or whatever it would be, they have like the keys to this awesome content that you could then be using on these
right.
Pinterest posts. And it's not just like the random cell phone photo you took while you were there. You know, it's actually a
right.
nice eye-catching photo. And if you're a vendor like the, you know, the florist or baker or mm-hmm. whatever it would be, if the bride and groom are looking for examples on Pinterest, they're probably looking for professional photos for examples to
yes.
get. So your photo is more likely going to catch their attention than just, you know, a florist that posted a cell phone photo with five facts about flowers or whatever it would be.
Yes, I would say the one thing about Pinterest is that it is visual. It's all visual. And so obviously the visuals really matter. And people are getting pickier and pickier because everybody's getting better at taking good iPhone photos and all of that. So their level of standard of what they deem worthy of them clicking on or worthy of them even pinning, saving to their board, it's getting higher and higher. So yeah, it kind of goes back to what we said before. It's like, be nice to people, make friends with vendors. Because it is good to be able to say like, hey, I've got all these photos of the cake you made. You want to use them?
Yeah,
so.
And usually we're usually totally cool with that. Like I know for myself, I actually will reach out to the other vendors a lot of times and be like, hey, here was their wedding film. Is there anything you need from that?
Yeah.
And I know not everyone does that, but I don't, you know, like, no one's going to be upset if you reach out to the, you know, if you're the florist, you reach out to the photographer and ask. The worst thing is they just say no or they never respond. But if they're like a well-established business, they're going to probably say something, you know, and they're probably looking to help out others because there's probably other vendors helping them out too. And they just want to build connection with others.
Yeah. That's what makes it fun. It's what builds community.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
So I'm kind of curious, can you schedule out Pinterest posts?
Yes. So there is a platform, and I highly recommend this. So Pinterest, if you're individually pinning pins, it can take a lot of time. And if you're wanting to like post at strategic times when you feel like people are more likely to be on the platform, because that is an aspect of it. If you're going to be manually posting all of them, that means you're going to be on Pinterest all day, which nobody wants to do, especially if you're running a business. You physically cannot do that. Or if you have a newborn like me, you definitely cannot do that. So in Pinterest, you can schedule pins straight through the platform, but you have to schedule every individual pin. You can't batch schedule or batch create. And if you're wanting to pin, say, like 15 to 20 pins a day, that's 15 to 20 pins you have to individually schedule through Pinterest, which Pinterest prefers for businesses to pin around 15, 20 new pins a day. That's what they recommend in order for you to have the most success. At least the last time I checked the analytics, that's what they were recommending. And so you can schedule on Pinterest, but what I recommend is scheduling through a platform called Tailwind, which I can't remember how much it costs, but it is not much. But Tailwind app, that's what it's called. And it works with Pinterest, and they now also have Instagram where you can schedule outposts with Instagram as well if you wanted to do that. And with Tailwind, you can batch create your pins and you can batch schedule them. So for me, I have one girl who I do Pinterest work for, and every week I just get her pins scheduled out for the week, basically. And I spend about half an hour each week, and she has about, I think it's like 25 pins every single day going out. So whatever 25 times 7 is. And it takes me half an hour to get those scheduled out and ready to go. Whereas if I was doing it on Pinterest itself, that would take me a very, very, very long time every single day. So yes, you can schedule out pins. I highly recommend that, especially if you're looking to maximize what your growth potential is. And Tailwind, 100%, that is the app to use if you're wondering what to use.
How are you normally designing your the pins that you're making? Is there like a platform that you prefer to use when designing them?
Yes. Yes. People who follow me in any capacity are probably tired of hearing me say this, but Canva all the way. It's free at first. You can get a premium subscription, but to create pins that convert, you do not need the paid version. Just get the free version. It is an extremely robust online platform for being free and available to anyone. Obviously, it's limited in what it can do as far as like photo editing. Like, it's no Photoshop or Illustrator. But if you're looking to just create graphics that are going to convert well and promote your business and get new views on your website, 100% Canva all the way. That's what I use to design everything for basically all of my business. And then for the text, because the text is important and the actual copy that you use is important, I use headlineanalyzer.com. And Headline Analyzer, that basically is you can type in what you're thinking of using as the text on your image, and it will give you a rating of how well it thinks that it'll perform with people. And then you can test it with another one and it'll rate that one. And basically you can try and get the highest rating possible and kind of test the clickability of that copy before you use it. So I use Headline Analyzer for everything from my Pinterest, like the text, the actual title of the Pinterest, my blog post titles, my YouTube titles, email subject lines. Everything gets run through Headline Analyzer. So between those two things, you've got your wording covered, you know what wording you're going to actually use, and then you are able to actually design something that looks pretty and is going to get people to click.
Great. I've never heard of that. What did you say? Headline Analyzer?
Headline Analyzer.
It's cool. Yeah. I'll have to look into that. That sounds extremely helpful to use.
Yes.
So, I think Canva is a great tool. I know Photoshop, Illustrator. I used to kind of have this pride of like, oh, I can't use stuff like that because I know Photoshop. But, you know, I've recently been using Adobe Spark a lot to make stuff.
Ooh.
And it's like, it's just so much easier. You know, like I just kind of, I find a template I like and then I tweak it to kind of become my own. And it saves so much time compared to if I was trying to rebuild this every time in Photoshop. So I don't think there's any, you know, like you can be a professional graphic designer or whatever. There's no harm in using things if it makes it easier, because, you know, if you can make it your own, it doesn't matter, you know, like if it saved you time, then it was worth it to use that platform instead of diving into Photoshop and getting all technical with everything.
Yes, 100%. So I've never actually, you said Adobe Spark?
Adobe Spark, it's included if you have the Adobe suite. So I don't know. I think Canva might be a little more of a powerful platform, but it's still just like super nice. Like it actually, like the podcast thumbnails I put together in there, and it's nice because all I have to do is it's web-based. So like if I'm not on my computer, I could even just like do it from my phone and like, you know, get the new headshot, replace it with the old headshot, and then just resave it. And then it even has an auto resizing tool. So like I can resize for Instagram, for, you know, YouTube, Facebook, whatever, you know, I want to change it to.
I'll have to look into that because I'm always looking to learn about new platforms and what they can do.
Well, Katie, I just want to thank you for all the knowledge you laid on. I actually, I'm going to probably have to go back through this and take notes of things like we were talking about. I think there is a lot of really good information. Do you have any last bits of detail you want to end with when it comes to Pinterest?
Don't quit on it. It can, we've touched on this earlier, it can be difficult to really tell whether it's being successful or not. And basically, if you want to know whether your pins are succeeding or not, just go to your analytics and see if people are clicking. And if people are clicking, every click is a new person getting introduced to your content. And in my book, that is 100% a success. Pinterest is doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing if that is happening. From then, if you're not getting any new inquiries or new bookings, then look at, if you're getting clicks, look at where you're sending people to. And then as long as you're getting clicks, you know Pinterest is good. You don't need to fix that. But maybe you're sending people to your website and nobody's inquiring. Then it's probably something on the website that's needing adjusting or tweaking. So yeah, I think a lot of people get frustrated and because they don't know whether to tell if their pins are succeeding or not. It's super easy. Just see if people are clicking on them. If they're clicking, it's succeeding. Keep working at it and maybe just fine tune where you're sending them on that end. And you might see an increase in like results from Pinterest that way.
That's great. Yeah, I think it's like anything, any other social media platform too. Oftentimes I see people like, yeah, I tried Instagram ads or Facebook ads and I did it for 2 weeks and I didn't get anything. It was a huge waste of money. I'm never doing it again. And it's like, well, like, okay, what was your post? Where were you sending them? Were they gaining value? There's so many, you know, with an ad, it's not just like paying to boost your post and that's all you do. Like there needs to be almost like a whole campaign based around just that thing. You know, you want to provide value. You want to have some kind of thing to bring them in to where you want them to go. Like you're telling a story, and I think Pinterest works just the same way, if not better, than a Facebook ad, because the whole goal of Pinterest is to get them somewhere else. So you're kind of taking them on this journey, and as they go through this journey, you're hoping that that leads to them inquiring with you, and now they know information from you. They maybe got free information from you, so they they're going to be more willing to kind of talk to you, and they're going to look to you for a good resource and someone they could trust to be a part of their wedding.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Great. Well, Katie, I would love to hear kind of what you're up to outside of photography and where people can keep track of what you're doing.
So I'm on Instagram because everybody's on Instagram. Are you even a business if you aren't? so my personal slash more entrepreneurial Instagram account is at Katie Lauren Graham. And then my photography account, because I've recently decided like I need to separate these two. So I think I have like 7 followers on my photography account right now. It's very sad, but I created it literally yesterday. so my photography account is at katiegraham.photography. I found out that I just need to separate these things. It's time.
I
was sharing too many pictures of my baby. It wasn't professional anymore.
That was something like for us too when we started doing more commercial work. It's like, okay, you can't talk to a bride and groom the same way you talk to like a Fortune 500 company or like a doctor or a realtor or whatever it is. It's totally different lingo, and it's like, okay, we got to split these up. So I think it is good to have them split because, you know, some couples might like to see photos of your babies, but not all. Right. So, you know, you got to have that balance. So they're coming to your platform for a reason. So you want to show them that.
Yes, completely. I was sharing like entrepreneurial business like tips or Pinterest specific tips and sharing pics of my baby because I try to that's another thing I do, but sharing for like women who want to work from home. So, you know, the baby is relevant to that because it triggers that emotional side. And then I've got wedding photography clients who are like, this doesn't matter to me. So, Instagram, at Katie Lauren Graham and at katiegraham.photography. I'm on YouTube. If you just search Katie Graham, you'll find me there. I used to post very frequently since having a baby. That is not so much the case, but I'm working on that. My website is at Katie Graham Photography, or not at, at www.katiegrahamphotography.com. That's the website. And then I also have my, more personal website, which is www.katielaurengraham.com. And that's where I share more business tips, again, breaking down like working from home, Pinterest specific things. My blog dives more into that. So again, separating. And then on the education front, I have an online membership that I recently launched at the beginning of March. And the whole focus of that, it's called Skills at Transfer Academy. And the whole focus for that is to educate primarily women, but it's not gender specific in any way, but to educate individuals who want to be able to work from home or work from anywhere on the different technical skills that they need to know in order to either grow their business or to offer those skills as a freelancing service and to be able to start a side hustle doing those things. So March's content, that is all focused specifically around Canva, how to utilize Canva, how you can make money just using Canva. It's like a deep dive into that, into like social media graphics, all those things. And then April's content is actually going to be all focused around Pinterest management, which works well with this.
Yeah, good
so
timing,
doing
right?
a dive. Yeah, good timing there. So in April, all of the educational material will be focusing on how to actually use Tailwind, how to create good headlines for your pins, how to increase your clicks, actually designing pins that will convert the business back end of Pinterest, all of that stuff. So yeah, that's my new like passion project that's going on that's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
And Katie, again, thanks for being a part of this. Definitely,
yeah.
If you're listening and checking this out, definitely check out Katie's work. And then also, thanks. If you need any help with Pinterest, definitely reach out to her. Do not reach out to me because I'm still learning, so I'm not a pro at this yet. Maybe by the time this goes live, I'll be a pro. But definitely reach out
you
to Katie if you need help with Pinterest. And you know, let me know too what platform you want us to cover next. Yeah, Instagram was another one that a lot of people want to know about. So I would love to maybe bring on someone that knows a lot about Instagram and see what they have to say. I'm really excited about this one because, you know, a lot of the other platforms, I feel like I have a pretty ground level knowledge. But yeah, Pinterest, I'm just like, I was absorbing all of this. So this was awesome. So again, thank you, Katie. And until next time, we'll see you.
All right. Thank you.